Luke chapter 5. I want us to read together, please, verses 1 through 11. We began studying in this passage of Scripture last week, and we did one particular focal point, and I want us to take a different perspective of it this evening. Last week, we endeavored to look at a great doctrinal truth that Jesus tells us that we are to launch out in the deep as we do His work. Tonight, I want us to go back and look at some practical applications of that doctrine within all of our own individual lives. So if you would, please, turn with me to Luke chapter 5, and let's read together these first 11 verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, when they had let down the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed. Lord, as we've read this passage, press it now upon our minds and hearts, open our eyes to understand it. Lord, by your Spirit, give us the understanding of truth that you know that we need tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. First of all, I want to say to you tonight that in saying that these are practical lessons, they are lessons that are to be practiced because of divine truth. Sometimes we talk about that which is doctrinal and that which is practical like they are two separate entities. One affects our minds. One affects our choices and our walk in life, but both are connected together, and the practical matters are not important apart from the doctrinal truth upon which they're based. So last week we looked at Jesus' instructions that they were to launch out into the deep at His command. They'd been there the night before without much success. They'd worked all night, and then they'd been cleaning their nets during the day. And yet, at His command, you see, folks, our work in His church is to be understood to be totally at the command of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice three things of a practical nature that impacted the lives of these men. We understand that there were Simon and probably his brother Andrew. They were partners in one ship. And then there were James and John. who were partners in the other ship. We're told that Jesus had been teaching and was there along the seashore, and people were just crowding around him to hear his teaching. And in order for all to be able to hear, he looked at these two ships. He went and got in one of them. And then turned to Peter, the man that owned it. You know, interesting, the Bible gives us to understand that he knew who owned the ship. And he looked directly at him and he said, "Launch out just a little bit." And Jesus sat down and talked. I want you to notice the first thing tonight. Jesus entered into the ship, then gave the instruction. Jesus didn't ask Peter, "Can I get in?" Jesus entered in and then asked Peter to launch out from the shore. What I want you to understand tonight, brothers and sisters, is that first of all, that Jesus Christ has the right to enter into our vessels. Our vessels, our lives, our bodies. Jesus has the right to enter in, and he enters in by his own sovereign power. I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, you have to let Jesus come in." I'm going to tell you, you don't have to let Jesus do anything. Jesus entered the ship, and then Jesus made a request, and Peter answered the request. You see, folks, Jesus, first of all, is the creator of our vessels. We live in a very scientific age. I understand that. And there is the idea that we're a biological process. We're part of this big ongoing process of life. But in all of the science and in all of the technical things that have changed and been invented, don't ever lose sight of this one thing. Conception of life and the beginning of life is the divine work of the sovereign God of heaven, just as is the regeneration of spiritual life from the dead is the divine work of the sovereign God in heaven, and he controls the vessels. He controls our lives. Look with me in Revelation. I've used this verse before, but it's one of the clearest statements. Look with me in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Who gives him power? Who gives him glory? If he's to receive it, who's giving it to him? What I want you to understand, folks, is nobody's adding anything to him. Nobody gives him something he doesn't currently have. He has all power. He is worthy of all glory. It is our recognition of that is a testimony to others of his glory. "Thou art worthy to be praised. Thou art worthy to be glorified. For," and you see the second half of this verse begins with a preposition that connects it to the first half of the verse. "For thou hast created," what? "All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now what I want you to understand that tonight, brothers and sisters, is that in our lives, we fit into that all things. The lives that we have, the bodies that we have, the personality that we have, the way our lives are wired. You ever thought about using that expression? I chuckle sometimes and talk about somebody being wired that way. Some people are 110. Some people are 220. Some people are wired in sequence to one thing to another. Some people seem to be like they're on a direct line. But have you ever considered the fact that the way that you're wired in your life, that your personality and your nature is there because of God put it there? We've got this DNA and we've got that DNA and we've got this gene. Who put all of that there? God took from the parents that He placed you with parts of each of them and put that in place. And God wired you like you are. And you are His vessel. And as His created vessel, He has the right to step in and say, launch out a little bit. Something else though. Do you understand that our Lord has the right of ownership even of those that are not believers in Him? Even in the lives of those who are not regenerate? He controls all things. Look with me for just a moment in the book of Romans. And look in Romans chapter 9. And look with me particularly at verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is a rather ungodly king. He had the audacity to say to Moses, when Moses said, God said, let my people go, Pharaoh had the audacity to say that, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? The scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't recognize it. Pharaoh wouldn't admit it. But the scripture still said it. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You see, God used Pharaoh. God in His control put Pharaoh in a place that brought glory to God, not to Pharaoh. Now, when you look at that, what I want you to understand tonight in light of our text scripture in Luke is that, first of all, Jesus, by His regenerating and saving grace, enters into our life. And He takes control of our life as He entered in, because He bought us with a price. You're His twice. He created you, but He also bought you. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? You mean you don't know this? Have you ever thought about this? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. The price of redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, these men were in the middle of their work week. They were right. I don't know what day of the week it was, but they were working. And yet in the middle of their work labors, something so mundane as cleaning fish nets, something so un-eye-catching as the seashore. Well, seashore's a pretty nice place. Well, the Sea of Galilee is not exactly like the coast of Florida or Tybee Island or somewhere. It's a rather craggy place. It's a rather narrow beach. It's not a vacation site. Here were men who were working in normal fashion. And in the normal course of their day, Jesus entered in and said, push out. Folks, what I want you to see tonight with me is that the very first principle we need to keep in mind, when you get up and go to work tomorrow morning on Monday morning, when you start your normal routine, today's the day of rest, okay? You start tomorrow. Every day you go about your job, it might be at a work site, it might be in your home, it might be in a school, it might be in a courtroom, it might be wherever you work, but wherever you are, your vessel belongs to Jesus Christ for the purpose of His glory. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, when we get a grasp on that, And when we wrap our head around that, you'll understand why Paul could say to the Colossians later on, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Not as unto men, as men pleasers, but unto the Lord. Folks, do you think about your job? Ladies, men, do you think about washing dishes, washing the car, cutting the grass? All of those things as your job to glorify God. You're using what He gives you, and how you use it is your action of glory to Him. So you see, the very first principle that determines our practice is how we understand our vessel. You're in school and you study? Study heartily as unto the Lord. You got an 8-to-5 job that's boring? Do it in all of its boringness. Heartily, gladly, as unto the Lord. Not as if you're being tormented and tortured. God put you where you are to launch out for His purpose. So you see, that's our first practical lesson, is to understand that our vessels, first of all, were created for Him. Secondly, were bought by Him. And thirdly, are under His control and purpose. We talked back during Easter, leading up to the communion, how that Jesus gave instructions that two of His disciples were to go over and find a donkey that was tied up and it belonged to somebody else, and they were to go get it. They weren't to ask permission. They were to go get it because Jesus said, go get it. And when they were questioned, they were to say, the Lord hath need of it. And God handled it. But the illustration is, when God sends us to do something using our vessels, it is because He hath need of it to accomplish a purpose and a reason that He's working on. Number two, look with me in our text in verse 9. Well, let's go back. Go back with me up into verse 5. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Simon said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. They were cleaning the nets. And now Jesus said, let's go again. What I want you to understand, Jesus' requirement of our lives, Jesus' possession of our life, Jesus' use of our life is in no way based on its convenience to our preferences. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But it's based rather on His wisdom. It's based on His timing. You see, when He tells us that we are to set out and to begin some labor for Him, He doesn't say, is this convenient for you? Is this comfortable for you? No, He had a reason. He had a reason for His timing. He has a reason for right now. And to Peter's credit, He said, Master, nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the third thing that I want you to notice, and I'm going to link these two. Third thing that I want you to notice is in verse 9. Let's begin reading with verse 6. When they had let down the net, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. What I want you to notice is, Jesus used the lives and the possession of these men in the normal routine of their workday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You see, our lives are not the Lord's just on Sunday. He uses our lives for His service every day of our week and every day of our life. But what I want you to notice too is that He doesn't demand our lives for our detriment. He doesn't use our life to our damage and destruction. The blessings that He gives us in our obedience are beyond what we expect and what we can grasp. Just think about it. Here was a man who was a fisherman. Okay? Fisherman was not on the upper tier of money-making propositions in the culture. We might say he was a blue-collar worker. But in the normal routine of making a living for his family. Remember, Peter, we're told that Peter had a mother-in-law, so Peter was married. So he was catching fish and selling them and trying to make enough money to take care of his family. When Jesus calls us to use our vessel in His service, His blessings are going to be to the good of our lives. And that includes our families. Now, all of God's blessings are not monetary blessings. Sometimes they are. In this case, there was a windfall profit. Jesus was about to call them to leave home and to begin catching men instead of catching fish. And in the process, He provided for their family all at once. God often gives us blessings in ways that are totally unexpected in our life. They're beyond our ability to measure and quantify. Don't forget, God tells us in the book of Psalms that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the wealth of every mine. He owned all the fishes in the sea. And He had His right as Creator to bring an abundance of them into Peter and Andrew and James and John at one time. Now folks, I don't want us to get caught up in the number of fish. There's one place in the Scripture that records that there were 153 fish. Most of the time when I go fishing, I'm doing good to catch one. And quite honestly, they didn't always catch very many, because when they caught this, they were all astonished. Peter was humbled by God's blessing. You see, folks, the practical effect of God's mercy and blessing upon our life is that in the abundance of blessings He gives, it ought to humble us at His knees. I get the picture from that Jesus was still seated in the boat. And Peter turned and fell at His knees where He was seated. And basically He said, "Lord, I'm not worth this. I'm not worthy of having You in My presence. Depart from Me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. I don't understand. I'm not worthy of this." You see, folks, God's blessings don't build up our ego. God's blessings aren't given to us to build up our self-esteem. God's blessings in our life are not given to us for the purpose of building up Lee Chambers. God's blessings are to humble me at the knees of Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy of His blessings. My vessel is not worthy of the abundance of His grace. We saw this morning from John chapter 10, He's promised us life, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. They had it abundantly right then. God's blessings to us are more than we can wrap our heads around. And they're given to us to enjoy and to use and to benefit from. But they're given to us to bring us in humility to the service of Jesus Christ. If Jesus gives me these great blessings, what ought to be my reaction? Jesus said, from this day forward, you'll catch men. I got another job for you to do, Peter. You see, folks, the Lord leads us. He blesses us in one day. He blesses us in one day for the next day. He blesses us that day for the next day and for something in the future. You remember when David was out being the shepherd for his father's sheep? And he told Saul, he said, I was out one day and a lion came and took one of the sheep. Every sheep was important. Every sheep was valuable to the father. And God delivered that lion into my hand so that I could deliver the sheep. You remember after that he said there was a bear that came and got one of the sheep. Well, God delivered that bear into my hands. And Saul, that giant out there is no different. That lion and that bear was bigger than I was. That didn't stop God. That giant, that lion, that bear prepared me for today to go face that giant. God gave him the blessing of a spared sheep that he would spare an army. You see, folks, God gives us the blessings that he gives us in our life. As he uses our vessel today, he prepares us for something that he has in front of us later on. Every day is his day. Every day he has the right to say, Lee, this is what I want you to do. Every day he has the right to bless me as he chooses to bless me. And every day, no matter how convenient or inconvenient, it is that he would be glorified. You see, those three things, folks, come into play very practically in our lives. In our lives as members of the church. In our lives as members of a family. In our lives as members of a community. In our lives as we treat other people. But in all things it is to humble us at his feet that we would glorify him. You're his vessel. He has the right to call you to its use. You're his vessel. He has the right to use it at his plan, not your convenience. You're his vessel. He has the right to bless it to his glory. May those three truths encourage us, strengthen us, and keep us at the feet of Jesus Christ. Father, you have entered into our lives by your grace. You've called us from death to life by your power. You've redeemed us as your vessels. Father, give us a willing spirit. Help us to learn like Peter, who very often got caught up in his own ideas. Help us to learn that the true path of blessing in life is doing what you tell us to do when you tell us to do it for your glory. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. And amen.